Welcome to the Embodied CEO Podcast. I'm Brooke.
And I'm Kirsten. We are integrative performance dietitians, entrepreneurs, and business mentors.
And we're tired of RDs not fully stepping into their power.
In this podcast, we're empowering RDs to use their fucking voice and expertise. There's not just a seat at the table for you, but you are the head of the table.
It's time to usher in a new paradigm of leadership as professionals and business owners. We're here to shake things up and have a damn good time doing it. So let's get started.
Hello, hello, friends. Welcome to another episode. I'm super stoked today because we have a guest with us, and we don't often have guests. We're starting to bring more guests, but we have a guest with us today. Brooke's here, of course, with me. Say hi, Brooke.
Hello.
But we also have the incredible Starla Garcia with us. Starla is a friend, a colleague, an incredible runner, an incredible human, an incredible dietitian. You can find her on Instagram at Starla_shines. We will also tag her, of course, in the show notes. But Starla is here to talk all things business with us today because she has been on quite the journey in her entrepreneurial endeavors. And we're going to dig into that a little bit. So Starla, welcome to our podcast.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to catch up with you guys and share all the fun details of my journey.
It's been a journey. It's been an up and down journey like it is for all of us, right? Brooke and I were actually messaging this morning because we message all day, every day. And we have these wobbles and these ups and downs, everyone at all times. I want to throw this out there, right? Total side note. It sucks sometimes for everyone. I had a rough day yesterday that started as a beautiful day and then it was a rough day. And then I needed someone to talk me off the ledge. Hi, Brooke. Thanks, as always.
I got you.
We all have these ups and downs. They happen. This is part of the journey. But we want to hear your journey. So why don't you kick us off with how you kind of got into entrepreneurship, and then we'll kind of go from there.
I think I was always wanting to be an entrepreneur. I was always almost immersed in the creative space here when in Houston. I started off wanting to start a blog, and I just had all of these ideas, and I didn't know where to put them as an intern. And I remember working for an entrepreneur right before I became a dietitian, and he had asked me, this is like really random. I had been laid off of my job right before my internship. And so I was doing the University of Houston one, and that one's 6 months long. And my boss had found out that I had applied to be a dietitian and I got in. And so he let me go. And I had like 4 months until my internship started.
Is that legal? That's a total side note. Like, is that legal to let you go if he knows that you're doing an internship?
I don't know. It was like the most random thing. And it was like the worst timing ever because I was like, I'm going to save all of my money for my internship. And I had like nothing. And I remember my boyfriend at the time, or my ex-boyfriend at the time, was like, hey, I know somebody. He's looking for a personal assistant. Why don't you go and, you know, interview with him? And I was like, who is this person? And he's like, you've never met him, but like, he's a really good guy. He owns his own like clothing line and stuff like that. Like, why don't you go and interview with him? So I went over to the apartment complex that he was at. We met in like the lobby area where they had meeting rooms. And he was like, I can tell you're a really good person. I really like you. He's like, by the way, you're going to be in my home with me. He's like, so I need somebody that I can trust. And he had like products, like this guy, like they actually have a boutique in Toronto, and he started his own jean lines ever since I left.
Wow.
And so like, also a celebrity stylist. So he was like a side hustler, and he had like all these other side incomes coming in.
That's amazing. And we need to know what the jean line is. Side note, this is totally irrelevant, but I'm always looking for a good line of jeans.
So. Yeah. So it's like a menswear jean brand. It's called Purple Brand.
Okay.
And so if you go to their Instagram, they like suit up all these celebs and like all of these athletes, like these huge athletes. Yeah. So he's like always traveling, and he was like, I need you to come into my home and really helped me like ship out product and stuff like that. So I was like shipping out product to like Saks and like London and like New York and all these random places. Like probably the most random gig ever that you will never find on my resume, but it's there.
Welcome to entrepreneurship. I did the most random shit to make this work.
Yeah. So I think just like being immersed in like that type of culture with him and just really seeing how he like was bringing in income, I was like, you can make money doing anything. And he had asked me, like, what do you want to do? And nobody had ever really asked me that in terms of what I wanted to do as a dietitian. I just knew like the very traditional routes that I should go. But I was like, you know, I would really kind of like to do like a holistic approach and like really work with people one-on-one, start programs, maybe like products and like different things like that. And he was like, yeah, I could totally work. I could see that. And he would just kind of challenge what I wanted to do. And so it just kind of really like sprouted more ideas into my brain at the time. But I never really had anybody to mentor me in that way. And then when I went to my internship, I like saw how other dietitians were doing it. But I didn't really go into a rotation with anybody who was an entrepreneur or anybody that was going to do more sports nutrition. So when I finished, I started doing a lot more like one-on-one stuff. And it was mostly outpatient OB-GYN, GDM stuff, gestational diabetes. It was never sports related. So I really tried to like break into sports nutrition, but I could never get a job. I could never get any experience around sports or athletics.
Isn't that crazy?
I had tried for like 2 years. Yeah.
Like Brooke and I talk about, yeah. And there's no one talks about it. It's like everyone wants to do it, but we all pretend like it doesn't exist. And once someone's in it, they shut the door behind them and like, I'm not going to share my secret because then they may want in too. Right. It's such bullshit because we just all get pushed into this path of work with diabetes. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has to work with diabetes. Yeah. Don't you know this? If you're a dietitian, at some point you have to do a carb counting. No, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to do it. And then like, I didn't want to work with ED people either. Like that was like a big no for me. I was like, no thanks. And then I got this opportunity to work for someone else and they were doing more sports related stuff and they had their private practice. And most of the athletes here in Houston were going to this person. So I was like, you know, like I'll go and I'll get mentored by this person. I'm going to learn a lot and like just see how it goes. And at the time too, I was also trying to qualify for the trials and my job at the hospital was like 10 hour days. And like, I would finish my job and I was so exhausted. I could never meet for like a track practice in the evening with my team. So I would end up doing some miles on my own. And like in the winter, I was like on the track when it was so cold by myself at like 8 p.m. And it was like miserable.
For people that don't know you, explain more about like the trials and what you were doing.
Yeah. So the Olympic trials, so I was trying to qualify for the marathon Olympic trials in 2020.
I love how you say that like a little side note, like, oh, by the way, I was doing, because like doesn't everyone do that?
Just what the casual hell, thing.
The side note, like thing. Oopsie, I was just trying to qualify for the Olympic marathon trials 2 years ago. Come on. Let's recognize that for a second.
Yeah. So I was trying to qualify and I was so close and I was just like, you know, like I'm so miserable at my job already. I like really want to move into this space and qualifying for the trials. It took a lot of sacrifice. I don't think a lot of people talk about, but like you spend a lot of time like committed to this one thing and like it may transpire into something. It may transpire into nothing. Like it just is going to be a personal attribute that you can tell people. But for me, it was like, it was beyond just like me qualifying. Like it was representing a whole community of people that were underrepresented in this type of sport. It also meant like, if I have this accolade to my name, people would take me seriously because this is what I've always wanted to do. And I was having so much trouble at the time, like getting people to trust me. And even like, I mean, even at the time, like I was still trying to refine what my messaging was. And when I had taken this job to work in this private practice under somebody, I had expectations of like for myself, but I also had expectations of my boss and my mentor. And I was wanting to really learn how to build my own business, like how to scale it, like how do I acquire new clients? And it was like, it was always like when I wrote, ask questions of what I put in the time, like I've spent 10 years doing this now and now I just get referrals. And so it was like,
that's not helpful.
Yeah. But like, I was like, do you know, like how much money people make online that are my age or like just a few years older or younger? Like there's a whole market out there that we're not tapping into. And like, this is what I'm thinking of. And I had already spent years before even taking this job, trying to learn social media, how to do several things, how to do brand partnerships, like all of that stuff. Like I was already trying to understand and learn because I was committed to like doing sports nutrition in the way that I felt like was going to be more in alignment with my career goals and who I was as a person. Like I just didn't want it to be like a job. Like I wanted to actually like to actually come together seamlessly and like live my life along these lines. So I would always ask these questions and like, I would just get the same remark. And eventually I just got really like bored. I think like 6 months in, I was like, wow, this is like kind of boring. Like I'm doing the same thing every day. I'm seeing the clients that I don't really enjoy. And I was just like, okay, like, what do I do? And like in the background, like running was honestly really pulling me along and keeping me focused. I mean, right after the trials, when I had finally qualified, like my life completely changed. People were asking more questions about who I was and what I was doing. And I just had a lot of media attention on what I had done. And so right after that, the trials had happened and then the pandemic hit. And I was still the only person bringing in new clients through Instagram and social media because I had nurtured this community for so long and had taken them on this entire journey with me. They were very committed to like what I was doing next. And I think like it was just the perfect setup and the perfect storm for actually breaking away from that private practice and jumping into what I do now.
I love that story. Do you feel like if it hadn't been for those, like you had a bunch of things pushing you, right? You were doing the trials and that was obviously something that was moving you along. And now there was media attention and there was this big growth. And then you were in a job where you were bored. And then a freaking pandemic hit, right? Which I think the pandemic did one of two things to people. Either lit a fire under someone to do something, or it made us all sink into a deep depression, right? Like it was one extreme or the other.
We're like a weird combo.
You're right, probably a weird combo. Yeah. But do you feel like you would have done, like would have taken that leap had the stars not all aligned like that, that quickly? Or would you have trudged on a path longer even though you weren't happy?
You know, I think I probably would have taken the leap anyway because I was so unhappy. And I remember going to my job in the hospital and I would be on the phone with my boyfriend and I would be crying because I did not want to go. And then I remember maybe a month before the trials, I remember calling my friend, and it was not even about qualifying or anything running related. I called a really good dietitian friend and I like cried to her because I was so unhappy. And I was like, I'm so bored. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm thinking about doing this and leaving, even though like my contract, or I had made a promise to this person because it wasn't in writing that I had to be there for X amount of years, but I had like verbally said, like, I would be here for like 2-3 years. And I was like, I think I'm going to like break my promise here because I'm so unhappy. So I think I probably would have done something even if I had never qualified or done anything.
I love that. And that takes guts, right? But that's that entrepreneurial piece of at some point, you just got to leave.
Yeah.
What you just said, I think we've all been in that job. Brooke, I know you've been in a job where you're like, freaking hate everything here. That was my first job after my internship. And it was a great job and it paid me good money. And it was on paper a really good job. And I was like, I had to commute. I remember I had a 50-minute one-way commute every day on the interstate, not because I was stuck in traffic, but like it was far. And I cried every morning to my now husband, then boyfriend. I was like, I hate my life. I don't want to go. This is horrible. And then I would come home in a shit mood. And then I would have a few hours to decompress and sleep and then repeat the next morning. And I'm so like impressed by the fact that at such a young age, shortly after your internship, you're like, fuck it, I'm out. Because that takes many of us much longer. But you're like, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, this is awful. So kudos taking a leap.
Thanks.
It makes me feel a lot better that I'm not the only one that's like cried because I've been so uncomfortable and wanted out of a job so bad. But I also think that that's that fire in someone that's meant to be an entrepreneur and work for themselves. Because there's a lot of people that be like, well, I make a good paycheck. I clock in, I clock out, whatever. I can zombie through this. And you were like, no, there's something bigger I want to do. And I want to like make this my life and like really embody what this means and then connect with those soul clients. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah, I think too, like I really tried to like be a 9-to-5 kind of person. Like I really, really did. Like for 3 solid years, I tried and like it was so miserable. Like I just couldn't. And I couldn't like understand how my colleagues were just so happy. Like I was like, how are they doing this? Like am I missing something? Like, what the heck's wrong with me? But I was just so bored. Like, I would get really, really bored and I would want to do something else. Like, I was like, give me more. And I think that's also like, maybe because like, that's that fire. But I think too, like being an athlete my entire life, like you're just chasing a carrot all the time. And I think that's been something that I've just accepted now. Like, that's just who I am, is I need something to pull me along all the time. And I think having that carrot in front of me, it just makes me really level up in a way that being in 9-to-5 settings was just not doing for me. And we know too, in hospitals, like there's a hierarchy system. Like, once like you have your job, you have your credentials, you can't go any higher. And like, nobody had told me that. Like, nobody had told me that that's what was going to happen to somebody like me. Had somebody told me, maybe I would have gone another route, but like, that wasn't what happened, right? Like, I ended up choosing this profession because I liked it so much and I really resonated with it. But yeah, nobody told me that that's what was going to happen in that setting. And I think had I had more education around like, how do I start my own business and like, how do I do these things, maybe I would have been like starting this even sooner.
So much juicy stuff in there. What you just said about the carrot analogy, I think that like athlete, yes, but I think it's that same spirit as the entrepreneurial spirit, because I think high level athletes very easily translate into entrepreneurs, because we aren't the people that, and you aren't, you're the high level athlete, I am not, but we as entrepreneurs are not the people that are going to be like, I've achieved this, now I'm done. There's always more, because we always know we're meant for new ideas, we're meant for higher levels, we're meant for more things, we're meant to expand and grow. Have we talked about this? I'm sure you've told me. Do you know what your human design is? Have we talked about this? Are you a manifesting generator?
Yes, I'm a generator.
You're a generator. Well, that also tracks, right?
Like, generator.
There's energy to burn and stuff to create. Like, you're not meant to sit down and be like, I've accomplished my 4 tasks for today, and now I shall sit here for the next 8 hours and do nothing. Like, you're not meant to do that, right? And then that piece you said about no one tells you what it's going to be like. Brooke has talked about this so much on these episodes of like, no one tells you when you get into your undergrad of like, this is the thing I'm passionate about and I freaking love it so much, I want to dedicate my life to it. No one tells you, by the way, you got to step through these 87 hoops. You got to pay someone else to work for free. And then afterwards, it's going to suck for about 20 years of your life. Welcome. No one tells you that shit.
Welcome. We're happy to have you here.
Right. We're happy we suckered someone else into this horrible path where you feel stuck and can't get out. So yeah, that's a lot resonates there, I think, for a lot of us and people listening probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I think too, I don't think I mentioned this, but when I was working at the hospital, I had another friend in Austin, and she left her job because she also capped out on how high she could go. And she was not even at a hospital. She was at a food company, and she was like associate director for like marketing at that point. And she was like 2 years younger than me. So she had climbed the ladder really quickly. She was so good at what she did. And she was like, I just got so bored. I'm like, what else could I do? I had two other people helping me. And like, I would finish my day by like noon and like just sit there, you know.
That's
like,
horrible.
Yep. And so she like peaced out and like she started her own business. And I remember watching her do that. And I was like, that sounds so fucking exciting. Like I want to feel that fire that she has like on the screen right now and like really feeding off of that. And so I messaged her like, who is your business coach? Like, I had no concept of online programming, nothing, but I was like all in already. Like, I was like, what are you doing? Like, who are you working with? And she was like, oh, I'm working with this guy. Like, and I was like, I've heard him on a podcast. So I was already like, the wheels were already turning even before that, on like, how could I get myself out of this shit? And like, what could I do to get out? And she shared that information with me. And I was like, all right, cool, I'm in. And so I got in there and it was so hard. Like, I don't think I made really any money, but I learned so much and I saw the possibility of, oh yeah, I could make $10,000 in a month. And like, people are out here doing it on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, it's like, this is what's possible. And she was doing really well. And now she actually has her own app and everything. Like, she's like really, like, continue to progress and do really well.
And I love the like reaching out for mentorship, right? And we all kind of met through the same mentor. Like, this is no secret, right? Everyone kind of knows that. And such an incredible experience of, like you just said, seeing possibility and taking potential and tapping into growth and committing to it. Because it is freaking hard on your own when you're like, I'm here and I see people there. And how do I get there? Like, what's that in between thing? And tapping into something as quickly as you can to just be like, even if this, like you said, you didn't make a lot of money in that particular circumstance, regardless, even if you'd had made a bunch of money, it's the experience and the growth and the expansion of putting yourself in a room with other people who also have bigger ideas, who also aren't okay with being capped at their potential at 26 or whatever, right? And stepping into that space and just saying, I'm committing to do this thing that's really fucking scary to do on my own, but I'm going to put some money on the line. I'm going to put my time on the line. I'm going to say, this is it. This is what I'm doing. And then be okay with, it's going to be some wobbles and it's going to be two steps forward, one step back sometimes. But because I have this support, I'm fully committed. Like that's amazing. And not everyone has the gumption to go do that. And I think that's the difference between the successful entrepreneur and the person who thinks entrepreneurship will never work, right? You just at some point have to do despite the fear. You have to do it despite.
Right. And I think that small experience, because I was in 2018 when I did that and I reached out for help and I started working and I was in this program with other people. I think like seeing the possibility, like when I actually made the jump into 100% entrepreneurship in the pandemic, I was like, I'm going to be fine. Like, I don't know what it was. I was just like, everything's going to be fine. And like, yeah, I was like very much on that end of like, all right, shit hit the fan. Like now it's go time. Like that was me. And I think like I was such on a high already that I just rode it all the way through most of the pandemic. Yeah.
I love that. And like you just said, shit hit the fan and you decided like, this is good. I'm going to be good. That's the piece probably I love the most about entrepreneurship. Even though it's freaking hard, I think we all always kind of know I'm going to be good. Because I'm not relying on anyone else. I'm not worried about someone laying me off or furloughing my job or, you know, reducing my salary or whatever. Like, I know I'm in the end 100% dependent on me. And if I show up as me doing what I know I can do, I'm always going to be fine. Like, it's the scariest part of entrepreneurship, but also to me, the most reassuring part of entrepreneurship. Like, it's a strange duality.
I want to hear more about like the transformation that once you become an entrepreneur, like you make this leap and you learn all this information. But then I think that there's this really rapid growth that happens when you start discovering like what is building an aligned business for me. So like what has that process of you started this kind of a, you know, during the pandemic and you've had a couple years under your belt now, right? I guess with timing. So like what has that journey been like?
I would say at the time, the person that I'm speaking to has changed, I think, the most, or the people that come into my hemisphere has changed the most. When I started in the pandemic, the main person I was speaking to was the Starla, like 5-8 years prior to that. And for those that don't know, like I had an eating disorder when I was in college, like I've gone through recovery. I've now been in recovery for like 10 years now. So in the pandemic, I really thought of like Starla that would be struggling, like the person that had to now be confined in their home and like would have been freaking out like, all right, like I need to have all of my food in my home because if I run out of these things and I can't find them, like what do I eat? Like I was deeply concerned about the person that I was that would be like in New York or in Seattle, whatever. Like I was speaking to that person very regularly. And like that, a lot of my messaging was more on like the intuitive eating side of things and like really managing stress and like really working through food guilt because that was like the main person I was concerned about. Like, so I was really speaking to that audience from a place of like, we're going to get through this. And I think that was like really, even almost my mindset too, was like, this is going to be fine. Like, we're going to be good. Like, this is what we're going to do. So it was almost like a coping mechanism in a way. And I showed up, like I told myself, if I show up every single day for that person, there's no doubt I'm going to be fine. And I think because I had also saw the parallels to myself too, where I was like, if I show up every day, I'm going to be fine. But I also have to show up for this person every day because I want them to be fine. So it was really coming from a place of love and care, like first and foremost. And ever since then, I would say like a lot of the clients that I really enjoy working with are probably like BIPOC clients. A lot of my clients that I really enjoy working with, they have a deep understanding of what they're going to do with the things that I show them, the skills and the tools and the information, because there's ideas in their brain that they just can't reach yet because the nutrition stuff is just blocking it. So a lot of my clients have actually gone on to do really awesome things in the running community beyond the work that we do together. So like, I think that's really like the person that I'm speaking to is like, what is your potential? Like, do you understand that? And like, how is nutrition going to allow you to tap into that potential now if you know that you're meant for something more?
That's so beautiful.
Oh my God, I love that so much. That's like powerful stuff right there. That's like, I just got chills listening to that because it is about so much more. And I think we all kind of, whether we communicate it effectively to our audience or not, but that's where all of us who work in this space started with this space. We all have a personal story that somehow connects us to nutrition. And we all entered the space from the perspective of, I want to help other people not to feel this way. I want to give other people their power back in this space so that they're in charge and they can go on to do amazing things. And I love how you just presented that as far as their potential. I wanted to touch on in this entrepreneurial journey, because we do have other entrepreneurs listening who step through this, who are going to be so inspired by your story, but it's not all sunshine and roses once we're in, right? Like, we want to be very transparent and honest that you've had ups and downs and there were struggles with overload and burnout. I would love it if you would share for our listeners a little bit about what happened and how you kind of got into, first of all, feeling burned out and then got out of feeling burned out.
Yeah. So this was about, so my schedule got booked and busy like really quickly. And I was managing it by like just continuing to book over things. And so I think I was up to like 50 clients max. And then I started to have a wait list. So I think this was about like before the end of, this was March 2021. So I hadn't even hit like a full year. I was just on the cusp of a full year of entrepreneurship and I was booked to the brim and I had a growing wait list of like 50 to 70 people deep that just wanted to work with me. And I remember thinking like, I don't even have space to create a group. Like, this is like too crazy right now. Like, and every time I would have like new spots open, somebody else would take it so quickly. And I started to see like the wait list grow all through the summer. And I could not even find a co-coach that could take on that. And I think that was probably also the most frustrating and the hardest thing for me was finding a co-coach that like understood athlete nutrition, that also understood how to work with a marathoner, that understood how to work with somebody that might have like disordered eating tendencies as well, or like trouble with food or emotional eating. So that was really challenging too. I also had a lot of trouble getting clients to even want to work with somebody else. Like, I would be on calls and I would like just trial and test people out and nobody wanted to work with anybody else. And that was also really challenging because there was only one of me. So, and that continues to still be a challenge, actually. Like, people will reach out and I'll like do interviews with people and I just don't feel like they'll actually fit within my business or the value systems that I operate off of. And that continues to actually still be like one of the lingering things. But because I was able to just start putting up more boundaries around work and say like, I'm only taking on this amount. And when that wait list started to dissolve, I actually felt a lot better. And I was able to start to really choose just clients that I really wanted to work with. And I figured that if people did not answer my emails when I reached out to them that were on the wait list, that just meant like, hey, like, it's not meant to be. I'm not going to worry too much about it or stress out about it anymore. People who are going to come back into my hemisphere, they are going to do that. And I was also not in the right mind space anyway to be helping more people or to be selling in a way that was going to be pressuring people. I figured if they really want to work with me, they're going to wait it out and they're going to stay on the wait list. And we're going to have so much fun together because I'm going to have less people and less responsibilities to people on a wait list. So that ended up happening in the fall. And then this last spring, I really committed to like doing more of the programs. And that's where I did Kirsten's group as well, the mastermind, just to start building up different revenue streams, doing the group programming and stuff like that to really take a lot of those clients off my plate.
I think it takes a lot of emotional intelligence as an entrepreneur who wants to help everyone to recognize that we're going down a path where at the end we're helping everyone but no one because we're no longer helping ourselves, right? We're not prioritizing our own mental space, our ability to fully show up because we want to give 110% to everyone because we are dietitians, which automatically means we're type A empaths, right? Like that, I think that's like a job requirement, right? Like we all get screened for that at birth. And to then recognize that like I can't keep doing this because I'm not actually helping people the way that I want to help people. And also it shouldn't be to the sacrifice of our own well-being and mental, you know, sanctity. So that's a gutsy thing to have to confront and say, I have to let some of this attrition. And the part about, I want to touch on this real quick, as I just earlier had a conversation with my associate dietitian, it is really freaking hard to find a person as a entrepreneur that you feel represents who you are in your business, because you kind of just want a carbon copy of you, which that they can, even if they replicate exactly your methodology and everything, you're never going to find a carbon copy of you. It's never going to be exactly you. And it's a really hard freaking thing to navigate as a business owner and someone who's so passionate about what you do to feel confident, you know, kind of handing that off. So that's, I can definitely understand how that's a struggle. I got very lucky with mine, but you know, we were all in that space. You, me, Brooke, right? We all have that. And that's definitely a challenge.
Yeah. I'd say that's probably one of the hardest things. And I would say too, I value my autonomy so much as a business owner and just as a functioning human being. And I think probably all the years of therapy have like ingrained that into me now, where it's like, you get to decide what you want to do. You get to decide when you want to eat or what you want to eat. And I think now it's just so hard to unravel it now, where I allow a lot of autonomy to people. Like I have a VA and she's like, I love working with you because you don't micromanage me. And I'm like, I don't like to be micromanaged. I don't micromanage very much about my life as much as possible, or else things go downward. So I think sometimes too, when other dietitians maybe come into my hemisphere, that might have been a challenge, where they're used to having somebody over them and like nitpicking. But like, I'm just not that way either. And I honestly don't think I would be a good boss either. Like, I think I really am more of like a solopreneur and maybe having more people come in and like contract out and help me do things. But I really have like become more comfortable with accepting that I may be a solopreneur for the rest of my journey. And like, I'm okay with that.
That's such good self-awareness.
I used to feel really bad about it because I always felt like that was the only way to like increase my income. And I'm sure like it is a nice increase. And like that was so ingrained with like other mentors that I was working with. But it was really refreshing, like working in Kristen's mastermind, that I didn't have to necessarily hire somebody. I could always like do other kinds of things to make additional money too, because I did feel like that was a big thing I kept getting pushed back on, was working with other people. And I mean, I've been Starla Shines on Instagram for a really long time. And, you know, people have really come to like know me and like the value systems that I have and all of the things that I like to do and the things that I'm going to talk about in my newsletter. And I think even for myself as like a dietitian of color, that has been really challenging to convey and share with clients, because I want to talk about a lot of social justice things, a lot of health inequity and things like that. And I need for that other person, if I ever did hire them, to like really understand and to almost be immersed in it to the point where they're very sensitive and aware of these topics, and they can cover these topics with a client that may be struggling with something or some kind of trauma as well. And to be able to take that person and really help them align their nutrition with things that are going to be most helpful for them.
It's so powerful, and such a permission slip for everyone else, that you truly do get to do exactly what you want to do. And you, only you know your business best and know what match you need and what currently fulfills where you are in that journey. If you were a new dietitian and you were trying to figure out, or a seasoned dietitian and you're not happy where you are, what piece of advice would you give such a person who's contemplating entrepreneurship and stepping into this. And we're going to close out with this because we're going to honor everyone's time. And, you know, Brooke and I try to keep these things on length where people don't zone out on us. I feel like we could talk to you forever because you just have such brilliant ways of putting things. But what advice would you give to a person who is trying to figure out where they go when they're unhappy where they're at and entrepreneurship seems like such a daunting thing to do?
I'd say get into a group. The worst thing that's going to happen is that you just like don't watch anything or like you just sit there and don't contribute or try to be better. I think if anything, you might try a couple of things and that may really spark something in you or you may get some kind of momentum from being around other people. But I think at least like taking some kind of action into learning and being better, or I guess like understanding more about what you can do as an entrepreneur too. So I think just immersing yourself in a group, a mastermind, and coaching, like why not? I think that's like even in my first journey into entrepreneurship in 2018, just having the proximity and seeing the possibility, like it didn't happen overnight. And I try to tell people that a lot too. It didn't happen overnight. Like I may have had a lot of success when the pandemic happened and over the last 2 years of my business, but like I was committed to being an entrepreneur 2 years before I ever like had any success and I never gave up on it. So I think if there's just an inkling of something there that you feel that's calling you, you should at least tap into that and at least try something.
I love it. That's such great advice. Starla, this has been amazing. I could talk to you forever because your story is just inspiring, I think, to everyone. Side note, she's an Olympic marathon trial qualifier. Hello. Anyway, so that's just impressive by itself. Let's scrap everything else and just leave with that. But anything happening in your world right now that you want the audience to know about, where can they find you? How's the best way for them to connect with you if they want to reach out? Give us that rundown.
I guess like people can find me at Starla_shines. Right now, a couple of things that are exciting me is marathon season, my group programs. I'm also really excited about a lot of really fun running brand partnerships that I've been able to be a part of. I have one with REI. So we're doing another partnership in the fall. And then I have a really fun brand opportunity with someone else that's coming up. And then I have a Brooks running event in 2 weeks that I'm really excited about. So I'm going to go to Park City, Utah for like the first time ever.
Wow, this is so much good stuff. Wow, awesome.
Lots of fun stuff. Yeah, really excited. So people want to follow along, definitely find me on Instagram. Yes.
And we'll link all this in the show notes and on the blog and all that good stuff too, so people can connect.
Starla, we're so grateful that you were here and thank you for spending some time with us today.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Embodied CEO podcast. To connect with me, Brooke, you can find me on Instagram at westnutrition.co, and you can visit my website, westnutrition.co.
And to connect with me, Kirsten, head on over to Instagram and look for Your Fitness Dietitian, or head to yourfitnessdietitian.com on the web.
Make sure to follow, subscribe, and share the Embodied CEO podcast.
And now go out there and disrupt that status quo.